Chapter 9, How to Make a Werewolf Weep. For a moment, we all just stood there. Then I remembered how Thomas and Peter had made me cry a few days ago. Could that kind of thing work with a werewolf? I figured it couldn't hurt to try, so I decided to ask some questions. "Hey, werewolf," I said, trying to sound mean, "where did you come from?" He glared at me, but he also started to sniffle. "How did you get this way, anyway?" More sniffling. "Don't you have a family?" I taunted. At these words, he let out a howl of deep sorrow. I felt like a beast myself. I could have asked those questions nicely, but I didn't. I was asking them in a mean way to make him sad, to make him cry. It was cruel, but we had to get those tears. "Where is your family, anyway? What happened to them? Did they run away because you're so ugly?" A horrible sob burst from the werewolf's mouth. A moment later, tears poured down his furry cheeks. He wasn't twisting and turning now, just hanging upside down and sobbing. "Well done," said Moongobble softly. He took the bottle out of his pack and lifted it to the werewolf's cheeks. The tears slid down the werewolf's muzzle, dripping into the bottle. The sound of his weeping was horrible. It seemed to take forever for his tears to fill the bottle. At last, Moongobble cried, "Got it!" He pulled the bottle away, then pushed a cork into its neck to keep the tears safe. "You can stop crying now," he said to the werewolf. But sometimes it's easier to start someone crying than it is to stop them. The werewolf sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. It made me want to cry, too. "I wonder if he'll turn back into a human when morning comes," I said. I spoke the words softly to Fireball. Even so, they only made the werewolf cry harder. "How will we even know it's morning?" Urk asked gloomily. "It never gets light here in the Forest of Night." "When my stomach tells me it's time for breakfast, that will mean it's morning," said the Rusty Knight. I looked at the werewolf. "It doesn't seem right to leave him there till morning," I said. "Well, we can't untie him," said Urk. "There's no telling what he might do." The werewolf sobbed even harder. "Let me try a calming spell," said Moongobble. He rolled up his sleeves and began to wave his wand. "Iggle, biggle, heart, zatizi!" Bang! A puff of green smoke surrounded the werewolf. Then I heard a clunking sound. The werewolf had fallen to the ground. Only he wasn't a werewolf anymore. He was a big hunk of cheese. Hairy cheese, which was sort of disgusting. "Dad rat monkey fat," said Moongobble, shaking his wand. "That wasn't supposed to happen." "Well, it did," said Urk with a sigh. "Now we'll have to take turns staying awake in case he starts to change back into himself, his werewolf self." "Well, it's my fault," Moongobble said. "I'll take the first turn." I looked at the cheese. I thought I saw some water at one corner. Was it possible for cheese to weep? Moongobble had turned me into cheese once, so I knew it didn't hurt, even if it was a little scary. I was still feeling bad about making the werewolf cry, but I was also really tired. After a while, I drifted off, falling into a dream of werewolves and witches, green glows and talking toads. The next thing I knew, the Rusty Knight was saying, "Well, it's morning." "It certainly is," said a soft, sad voice. I shook my head and realized I had been sleeping. Whose voice was that? I looked up. Sitting beside Moongobble was a very unhappy-looking man. It was the same man we had met at the edge of the forest, the one who had warned us not to go in. "You're the weeping werewolf," I cried. "Why did you tell us to turn back? Were you afraid you would tear us limb from limb?" "Of course not," he said, sounding shocked. "I was afraid I would be embarrassed if you caught me sobbing. Which I am, embarrassed that is. I had no idea you were going to trap me like this. I don't think it was very nice of you." The man sounded so sad that I started to think Fozwad had given Moongobble the wrong task. A really good magician would not be worried about collecting a flask of tears. A really good magician would try to cure the weeping werewolf. Chapter 10. Why the Werewolf Weeps. "I'm sorry I made you cry last night," I said. "It's just that we had to get those tears, but I really did wonder about the things I asked you. Why are you so sad?" "Wouldn't you be sad if you were a werewolf and could never see your home and family again?" he asked. "I suppose I would," said Moongobble. "Even so, you seem sadder than the average werewolf. Not that I've met that many. Well, they do call you the weeping werewolf, so it would seem that you're sadder than most." I don't know what it's like for other werewolves. All I know is that I miss my wife and child. I don't want to be a werewolf anymore. How did you get to be a werewolf to begin with? I asked. The man sat down. I used to live in a little town called Pigbone east of the mountains. That's where we live, I cried. Wonderful place, isn't it? The man said sadly. I wasn't sure I completely agreed, but I didn't say that just then. Anyway, he continued, one day I set out to go to the market in the big city. My wife warned me not to go. She said there was no reason to leave Pigbone. But we were short on money, and I had hoped to sell some of my carvings in the city. Alas, I never got there. Though I knew I should walk around the forest of night, I foolishly decided to go straight through it. As I was making my way through the darkness, I met an old woman who asked me for a crust of bread. You gave it to her, didn't you? I asked. I would have, said the man, only I didn't have any. That's how poor we were. When I told the old woman I had no bread, she got so angry she cast a spell on me. That's when I became the Weeping Werewolf. I haven't seen home or family since. Is there any way to cure you? Urk asked. The man sighed. When the woman cursed me, she said, Werewolf, werewolf, you shall be, and no more see the light, until the day the sun shines in the forest of the night. What the heck does that mean? I asked. It's a riddle of some sort, Moongobble said. They're very common in magic, but I can't make any sense of it. I suppose if we chopped down enough trees, the sun would shine here, said the rusty knight, once he had repeated the riddle loudly enough for him to understand it. I wouldn't do that, said the man. It's very dangerous to chop down a tree in this forest, he sighed. If I only became a wolf on full moon nights, I might have been able to go home and escape back here once a month. But Pigbone is 2 days away, so I can't get there without turning into a wolf. And who knows what terrible thing I might do then? At least here in the forest of night, I can't harm anyone. Why can't you harm anyone here? I asked. Because there's no one here to harm, he replied. Except for the old woman. She lives here. In a cottage? I asked. In a cave, said the man. But I don't dare go near it. Once was bad enough. Who knows what she might do to me next time? We will go and talk to her, said Moongobble. We will? I asked. Of course, said Moongobble. It is the least we can do in return for the tears this man has given us.